So please open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 6. And 1 Chronicles chapter 6 is divided up pretty easily. It shows the tribe of Levi. It's all about Levi, not any of the other tribes. Verses 1 through 15, it speaks about the family of Aaron. 16 to 30, the sons of Gershom, Kohath, and Merari, who were the sons of Aaron. 31 through 48, the song masters. 49 to 53, from Aaron to Himes. And then finally, the last part, 58 through 81, will list the cities where they lived. I think for most people, including Ezra's initial readers, they all knew what the Levites did. They worked at the temple, and the sons of Aaron in particular, the descendants of Aaron, were the high priests. So they were the ones who worked in the temple and so forth and so on. But he did show something for which they're not well known. And that was their singing. They were assigned a singing order, and that is some of that here in this chapter. So let's just start like how I've been doing, you know, reading it. I want to read the whole thing. I know it's a lot of names and stuff, and like I've told you before, my guess is that a lot of people either skip over this part just because I know all those names and we think, what interest does it have for me? But it's still the Word of God, and I think we need to read it just to see what it says. So, here we go. Verse 1. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. The children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. In that case, you notice that he's mentioning a daughter, which typically, in these genealogies, if a woman has been mentioned, it's been a wife. There's been a daughter or two mentioned, but very limited. And the sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. Eleazar begot Phinehas, and Phinehas begot Abishuai. Abishuai begot Buki, and Buki begot Uzi. Uzi begot Zeruiah, and Zeruiah begot Meraioth. Meraioth begot Amariah, and Amariah begot Ahitub. Ahitub begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Ahimaaz. Ahimaaz begot Azariah, and Azariah begot Johanan. Johanan begot Azariah. It was he who ministered as priest in the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. Azariah begot Amariah, and Amariah begot Ahitub. Ahitub begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Shalom. Shalom begot Hilkiah, and Hilkiah begot Azariah. Azariah begot Seraiah, and Seraiah begot Jehozadak. Now there's four sons of Aaron listed. And unfortunately, the oldest two, though they could have had a great and glorious life as high priests for Israel, instead they did something for which we know them a lot better. We don't really know them for their service that they rendered to the Lord. But what we do know them from is Leviticus chapter 10, when in the course of worshiping the Lord, they did something that was not authorized by Him. So the first two verses of that chapter say, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. In other words, they got the source of the fire from another place. He was very specific where he wanted them to get the fire. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Right there in the wilderness. They've not even come to the land of Canaan yet, and they've already lost their lives. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the story of David, but the names of Ahitub, Zadok, and Ahimaaz from verses 7 and 8, that's David's time. So you can kind of just mark where we're moving in time. In verse 10, Ezra gave us a time frame saying that Azariah was priest during the days of Solomon, which would put that in the 900s B.C., Hilkiah is one you noticed in the text, and he's mentioned several times in the Bible. But my favorite one is in 2 Kings chapter 22. Josiah has become king at the age of 8, and then at about the age of 16, he begins a reformation or restoration movement in Israel, and one of the things that he wants done is for the temple to be restored, because they've neglected it, they probably have some idolatrous things in it, and so on. And they're doing this restoration work without the guidance of the Bible. So they're just getting it from oral tradition until Hilkiah in 2 Kings 22:8. The Bible says this: "Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, 'I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord.' And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan and he read it." I just have always loved this chapter and the next one in God's Word. To me, they're very exciting because Josiah's father and grandfather really brought Judah down and Jerusalem down badly. Badly enough that God had made the decision to destroy Jerusalem and the temple and to send the survivors into captivity. But when Josiah came along, he held that off until sometime after Josiah died, unfortunately at a young age of 39. But it has always amazed me when I've read this, because they're doing what's a good work, but they're not using the scriptures to do it. It's like no one has a copy of the scriptures. It's been hidden. So as they're working on the temple, Hilkiah finds a copy of the law. And I think he's excited about it. And he gives it to this man Shaphan, the scribe. And he's to take it to the king and read it to the king. But when he gets to the king, he says, "Okay, here's a report and all the work. Oh, and by the way, Hilkiah the priest found a book." Like, what's this? Like, it's no big deal. He had no idea what he was holding in his hands when he finally read it to the Josiah. And King Josiah had a great response to it. So, anyways, I'd encourage you to read 2 Kings 22 through chapter 25. And just read that whole story. It's really a wonderful one. Okay, now verses 15 through 30 of 1 Chronicles 6. Jehozadak went into captivity when the Lord carried Judah and Jerusalem into captivity by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. These are the names of Gershon: Libni and Shimei. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel. The sons of Merari were Mahli and Mushi. Now these are the families of the Levites according to their fathers. Of Gershon were Libni his son, Jahath his son, Zimah his son, Joah his son, Idu his son, Zerah his son, and Jethirah his son. The sons of Kohath were Aminadab his son, Korah his son, Asher his son, Elkanah his son, Ebiasaph his son, Asher his son, Tahath his son, Uriel his son, Uzziah his son, and Shual his son. The sons of Elkanah were Amasai and Ahimoth. As for Elkanah, the sons of Elkanah were Zophe his son, Nahath his son, Eliab his son, Jeraham his son, and Elkanah his son. The sons of Samuel were Joel the firstborn and Abijah the second. The sons of Merari were Mahli, Libni his son, Shimei his son, Uzzah his son, Shimi his son, Haggiah his son, and Asaiah his son. Whew, that's a lot of work to say those names. And again, I said to you before, I hope I'm getting them right. If not, feel free to correct me. With verse 15, Ezra gave us another historical marker, telling us it was during the generation of Jehozadak that the Jews went into Babylonian captivity. Now, I don't know if you recognize the name of Korah in that list or not, but he was the one who led the rebellion against Moses, as is recorded in Numbers chapter 16. And so you'll notice that he was a priest. And when he rebelled against Moses and Aaron, Moses used that against Korah and the 250 men who sided with him. So Numbers 16, 1 through 3 says this. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men, totaling 250, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord?" Which, you know, of course, that was not the case with Moses. Moses didn't even want to do this. It took God getting angry at him before he finally realized, okay, I better go down to Egypt to save these people. No, he was a very reluctant leader, and it's not as though once he started to lead that he wanted more power. The Lord gave it to them all. But here's the thing. Korah was a priest. I mean, he already had a position that was exalted and high, if that's the way he wants to look at it. He had a privilege of doing something that the rest of the tribes of Israel could not do, even if they wanted to. And if they had, they would have lost their lives for it. So in verse 7, Moses fired back at them and said, "You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi." And then he reminded them, "Here's what you already have, and you want more. The problem's not me. The problem's not my brother Aaron. The problem is you. And you're rebelling not against us. You're rebelling against the Lord." Verse 28, I found to be interesting because he mentions there, all of a sudden, Samuel. And it's kind of like, where did that come from? And I don't know if you remember or not, but last week, when I was reading 1 Chronicles 5, it was giving us the descendants of Reuben and what son was from who and so on. And all of a sudden, it mentioned this guy named Joel and who his descendants were. And there was no connection between Joel and what I could see with Reuben. Now, I even mentioned to you last week, that must have meant something to them back then, but to me, I didn't understand what Ezra was doing. Well, looking here, I think I can understand what's going on now. Who was the father of Samuel? Well, it was Elkanah. And you'll notice there were several Elkanahs mentioned. That must have been a popular name in the tribe of Levi for a while. But when it comes to Samuel's father, it says his sons were 1, 2, 3, and didn't list Samuel. And I think it's because everyone in Israel knew who the father of Samuel was. So he didn't have to say. So then he just says, and the sons of Samuel were Joel, the firstborn, and then Abijah, the second. So that helped me to understand that Joel, in chapter 5, must have been somebody significant in the history of Israel. They all heard stories about him. They knew about him. They knew who his father was. And he had done some great things in Israel that are not recorded in Scripture, just like how Samuel did for Israel. And so that's why he could just all of a sudden not say that Samuel descended from Elkanah, because everyone would know that. He just wanted to focus on Samuel and who he was and who his sons were. Excuse me. And the sons of Samuel should have followed him as judges. In fact, he was training them to be judges. But if you go online or get a book or something like that and look for a list of the judges of Israel, his sons will not be listed. And that's because they were evil. And they were doing a very poor job as judges in Israel. And that's what prompted the Israelites to approach Samuel and say, give us a king like the other nations. It wasn't just that the Israelites came up with that out of nowhere. It's because his sons, they could see him getting older and he's going to be gone. He's a good man. He's led us in so many good ways. But his sons, they're a mess. They're not going to be able to help us. So give us a king and that will solve our problems. And of course, as you know, it did not. Uzzah, in verse 29, is the one who lost his life when Israel was moving the Ark of the Covenant during the days of David. And you remember they put the ark on a cart and it was pulled by oxen. And the oxen stumbled. Well, those are pretty heavy animals. So it was going to bring the cart with the ark on it down to the ground. So Uzzah put his hand up to stop it from happening because this is the ark of the Lord. And boom, he died. And it's because they were not moving the ark the way the Lord said to move it. If they had been, something like this wouldn't have happened. And he didn't want anyone to touch it. The only ones who could touch it would be the guy who originally made the ark. And then only the high priests as they're serving in the Holy of Holies, bringing blood like on the Day of Atonement. And so he violated that and unfortunately lost his life because of it. It even made David angry. And the Bible doesn't come right out and say that he was angry at God, but he realized later what he was doing was wrong. And then so he says, because we didn't do it the right way before, this happened to us. So let's do it the right way this time. Next is 31 through 38, the musicians. Excuse me. Now these are the men whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark came to rest. They were ministering with music before the dwelling place of the tabernacle of meeting until Samuel built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And they served in their office according to their order. And these are the ones who ministered with their sons. Of the sons of the Kohathites were Heman the singer, the son of Joel, the son of Samuel, the son of Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Eli, the son of Toa, the son of Zuf, the son of Elkanah, the son of Mahath, the son of Amasai, the son of Elkanah, the son of Joel, the son of Azariah, the son of Zephaniah, the son of Tahath, the son of Asher, the son of Ebiaseth, the son of Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Israel. Okay, so you'll notice there that this time he tells you that Samuel was the son of Elkanah. So there he listed in that particular case. David was big on music. I have no doubt that when it came to music, David was a genius. In fact, years ago, I read a book, I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was about Leonardo da Vinci and how the author believes that da Vinci is the greatest genius of all time. And he compared it to other geniuses like the architects who built the pyramids in Egypt and all these other kinds. But then he says, Leonardo, the reason he was the greatest is because he was a genius in seven different areas. And I started thinking about David. I think David was a genius in seven different areas. So I wrote to the author of that book and presented my case about David, and he wrote back to me. He was kind enough to do that and agreed with me. I haven't seen a book. Oh, it's How to Think Like Leonardo da Vinci. And so I haven't seen a book come out yet, How to Think Like David. Maybe I should write it or something. I don't know. But I thought that was really interesting. So he wrote, he could write lyrics and he could play music. Evidently so well that the Lord said, I want that in my Bible for the human race. Therefore, here he's taking part in leading the Levites to have a song service and to have it so ordered that there's always singing at the temple. Did you know that? Whenever you went to the temple, there was always music. Singing. They were always singing. Which I think is very amazing. And some of those names I listed, you'll remember from the prefaces to the Psalms. All right, 39 through 47. And his brother Asaph, who stood at his right hand, was Asaph the son of Berechiah, the son of Shimi, the son of Michael, the son of Baasiah, the son of Malchijah, the son of Ithni, the son of Zerah, the son of Adaiah, the son of Ethan, the son of Zimah, the son of Shimei, the son of Jahath, the son of Gershon, the son of Levi. Their brethren, the sons of Merari, on the left hand, were Ethan, the son of Kishi, the son of Abdi, the son of Maluk, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Amaziah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Amzi, the son of Bani, the son of Shamer, the son of Mali, the son of Mushi, the son of Merari, the son of Levi. Asaph, that he mentions there at the very beginning, wrote 12 of the Psalms. So he was also a very talented man. And it was not just David who loved music, but the Lord loves music. That's why he gives us the ability to sing or the ability to play, whichever the case is. And he wants to hear his children sing. I don't know about you, but when your children especially were small, didn't you like to hear them sing? It's a beautiful thing. I think the Lord is like that with us. And we should see singing as a divine mission. Our singing is not filler, so we can fill up an hour, and it's not something just to prepare us for the sermon, since the sermon gets the major portion of our worship services. Singing is a divine mission in itself. And one proof of that is Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in prison, and at midnight, the Bible says they are praying and singing hymns. And it leads to the conversion of the jailer, the Philippian jailer, we call him. Okay, now 39 through... Oh, I already did that part, didn't I? Okay. 48 through 49. And their brethren, the Levites, were appointed to every kind of service of the tabernacle of the house of the Lord. But Aaron and his sons offered sacrifices on the altar of burnt offering and on the altar of incense for all the work of the most holy place and to make atonement for Israel according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. Earlier I said that Ezra did not mention their work of sacrifice and stuff, but there, obviously I forgot that part right there, but it's not a major part of his discussion. So aside from the high priest, you got the high priest who have descended from Aaron, but what about the rest of the Levites? They were there to accommodate the high priest, to help them in their duties, to bring the animals, you know, and clean up the place or whatever needed to be done. It's like they were assistants to the high priest. But only the high priest could offer sacrifices on the altar of burnt offering and on the altar of incense. And they also did all the work in the most holy place, which I like to call the Holy of Holies. 50 through 53. Now these are the sons of Aaron: Eleazar, his son, Phinehas, his son, Abishua, his son, Buki, his son, Uzi, his son, Zerahiah, his son, Meraioth, his son, Amariah, his son, Ahitub, his son, Zadok, his son, and Ahimaaz, his son. Phinehas is very significant in the history of Israel, still there in the wilderness, because Israel had sinned and God sent a plague among them, and it's killing people. And finally, when that episode is over, Phinehas observed an Israelite man with a Midianite woman who had obviously not been converted. And this is what is said in Numbers 25, beginning verse 6. And indeed, one of the children of Israel came and presented to his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Now when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, through her body. So the plague was stopped among the children of Israel. And later you'll see how God commended Phinehas for that and gave him some blessings. Now 54 through 64. Now these are their dwelling places throughout their settlements in their territory. For they were given by lot to the sons of Aaron of the family of the Kohathites. They gave them Hebron in the land of Judah with its surrounding common lands. But the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. And to the sons of Aaron they gave one of the cities of refuge, Hebron. Also Libnah with its common lands, Jatir, Eshtemoah with its common lands, Hillen with its common lands, Deber with its common lands, Ashen with its common lands, and Beth Shemesh with its common lands. So when Carrie and I and Jennifer and Denise went to Beth Shemesh, we were working in one of the cities of the Levites. Verse 60. And from the tribe of Benjamin, Geba with its common lands, Alameth with its common lands, and Anathoth with its common lands. All their cities among their families were 13. To the rest of the family of the tribe of the Kohathites, they gave by lot 10 cities from half the tribe of Manasseh. And to the sons of Gershon, throughout their families, they gave 13 cities from the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the tribe of Manasseh in Bashan. To the sons of Merari, throughout their families, they gave 12 cities from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Gad, and from the tribe of Zebulun. So the children of Israel gave these cities with their common lands to the Levites. So the tribe of Levi did not have a section of land like the rest of the tribes did. If you look at a map in the back of your Bible, you will not be able to find a region that says Levi. You'll find Judah, and you'll find Reuben and Zebulun and all these other ones, but not Levi. Well, that's because their father, Levi, and his brother, Simeon, had attacked a whole town and killed all the men in it because one of their men had raped their sister, Dinah. And because of that, the Lord dispersed them throughout Israel. Simeon, not as bad, but Simeon was located in right in the middle of Judah. Judah completely surrounded Simeon, and so eventually Judah just consumed Simeon. Although at first the tabernacle and later the temple would be in Jerusalem, the Levites lived all over the land, and so they would have to travel to Jerusalem when it was their time of duty. And then Ezra mentioned one of the cities of refuge. I think the first one he mentioned there was Hebron. The Lord said, when you get into the land, I want three cities, one in the north, one in the middle, and one in the south, on each side of the Jordan River. They were known as cities of refuge, so that if you killed someone accidentally, you could run to that city and be protected until there was a trial and everything was determined as to what happened. Otherwise, someone from the family might kill you, and you needed to be protected from that person. Okay, let's look at this last section now, 65 through 81. And they gave by lot from the tribe of the children of Judah, from the tribe of the children of Simeon, and from the tribe of the children of Benjamin, these cities which were called by their names. And you'll recognize what I just said about Simeon and Judah, and then there's Benjamin. You know, they eventually formed just the kingdom of Judah. 66. Now some of the families of the sons of Kohath were given cities as their territory from the tribe of Ephraim. And they gave them one of the cities of refuge, Shechem, with its common lands, in the mountains of Ephraim, also Gezer with its common lands, Jokmeam with its common lands, Beth Horon with its common lands, Aijalon with its common lands, and Gath Rimmon with its common lands. And from the half tribe of Manasseh, Aner with its common lands, and Belim with its common lands, for the rest of the family of the sons of Kohath. From the family of the half-tribe of Manasseh, the sons of Gershon were given Golan in Bashan with its common lands, and Ashtaroth with its common lands. And from the tribe of Issachar, Kadesh with its common lands, Dabarath with its common lands, Ramoth, or Ramoth with its common lands, and Anem with its common lands. And from the tribe of Asher, Mashal with its common lands, Abdon with its common lands, Hukok with its common lands, and Rehob with its common lands. And from the tribe of Naphtali, Kadesh in Galilee with its common lands, Hammon with its common lands, and Kirjatham with its common lands. From the tribe of Benjamin, the rest of the children of Merari were given Rimmon with its common lands and Tabor with its common lands. And on the other side of the Jordan, across from Jericho, on the east side of the Jordan, they were given from the tribe of Reuben, Bezer in the wilderness with its common lands, Jaza with its common lands, Kedemoth with its common lands, and Mephath with its common lands. And from the tribe of Gad, Ramoth in Gilead with its common lands, Mahanaim with its common lands, Heshbon with its common lands, and Jazer with its common lands. So as you can see then, the Levites were just spread all throughout the land of Israel. And I believe that Christians are like Israelites, spread all over the earth. And the Lord has not said, okay, I want a piece of land set aside for my people Christians, and that'll be their nation. No, he wants us spread all over the earth, and so we are his nation in the spirit. We are priests. Our high priest is Jesus, but as you probably know, all Christians are priests. Now, priests not only are ministering for their own behalf, but they do it for others. 1 Timothy 2 tells us to pray for kings and rulers and for all men, and to give thanks for them. And what do you pray for them? Well, I think right now our leaders in America need us to pray that God be merciful to them, because there's some things going on that just are so out of whack from the Word of God and from where we used to be. God, please have mercy on them, because in having mercy on them, you're going to have mercy on us too. And you could pray other things. Another thing that the Levites did, and this is the last thing I'll mention, another thing they did in Israel, which Ezra did not mention here, is they were the teachers. They were the teachers in Israel. The main teachers. I'm sure there were others who taught, but that was their designated job, to teach in Israel. Brother or sister, we're going to sing the invitation song, and if you have a need for the invitation, please come forward now as we stand and sing.